scene. And even though I wish I could have wiretapped the Aston residence to get the full story behind Five and his infamous father, Ford, I never needed a wiretap to understand the full extent of what Five does with his spare time, because I grew up watching it with my own eyes. Hacking. Oliver and Ariel got into some trouble when they were teens. Ariel is just a few years older than Ollie, so they were fast and tight all growing up. They had a matchmaking business when Ariel was in high school, and one of their teenage clients was threatening to expose the whole scheme. Until Ariel called in Five. Then it all went away. He's kind of a fixer, too, and I have wondered more than once if Mr. Mysterious is working for Five. But I don't think so. There is no evidence of that. Five is a work-alone kind of guy, unless he needs Oliver's help. So back when the Misters were accused of rape 10 years ago, Five asked Ariel and Oliver to hack into all the Mister records to see what they were dealing with. And I found the files on Ariel's computer that Christmas when she left her laptop open while she was taking a shower. I saw everything, but it was Mr. Mysterious who captured my full attention. Mysterious didn't even cover how to describe him back then. It wouldn't come out that he was the son of Charles Vance for another few weeks, and by that time, I knew everything Ariel did about him. His story was the stuff movies are made of, fairy tales and conspiracy theories. But I was only 13. I was ill-equipped to do my own snooping. And that's part of the reason I went down this path of private investigator. I needed more information than Ariel had. I needed to know everything about this man. And now I do. Almost. I'm so close. I know all about his family, his mother and his father, their wins and losses. I know about his business. I know what he does, who he does it for. I know so much more than anyone else in this world. Maybe even more than his own mother. But I don't know all of it. That one crucial piece of information is missing. What happened that night? What was Paxton's role in that accusation? I need this. I need it like I need water and air, like I need him. Five was quick to shut them all up, so their stories were all secret from day one. But I knew some of Oliver's story, and even though I found no proof, there has to be a connection between Oliver and Mr. Mysterious beyond the charge. Somehow, some way, their stories conjoin, and that's why they have been tight friends ever since. At least, that's what I think. I'm not sure, but I think I'm right. Why else would a loner like Pax seek out my brother as a BFF? There's a 3-year age difference, which is no big deal now, but back then, seniors didn't hang out with freshmen. I can't figure it out. These elusive details are still missing. But not for long. I'm going to get to the bottom of this if it's the last thing I do. I'm going to get to the bottom of it, and I'm going to do that by being the most important person in Paxton's life. His best friend, his lover, his confidant. And no amount of pushing me away, or feigned disinterest, or logical reasoning will deter me. I will figure out his secret. I will figure out what happened that night. I will find all the evidence, I will put all the puzzle pieces together, and I will give him a gift to seal the deal. I will make it right for all of the Misters. But most of all, I will be the person who gives Paxton Vance all the information he needs to call home and tell his mother that it is done. It is fixed. His name, and by extension, hers, is cleared. I will save him, because he really needs saving. He needs to stop this fixing he's been doing. He needs to stop dealing with the low-life Hollywood scum. Stop erasing their mistakes in some desperate, unconscious attempt to try to erase his own. Mr. Mysterious's business is about to come to a screeching halt, and he will thank me later, even if he hates me for it now.
Chapter 6. Paxton. For a mystery girl, Cinderella sure does get around the town of Malibu. After the not-so-chance meeting in the surf, she was everywhere. At the car wash last Tuesday when I pulled in to get my car detailed. She was laughing and talking with Raul, the owner, like they were old friends. I'm his old friend, not her. The next day, she was in Big Kahuna's surf shop picking out a new bikini when I took my board in to get a fin repaired. I know Big pretty well, but he's not in the shop much doing repairs, so he came in special for me. And did he greet me like the friend I am? No. That old bum only had eyes for my sugar-smelling stalker. The day after that, it was the dentist, and my hygienist talked with her from the next room the entire time. I heard all about her dates with Party Guy. Then the doctor came in and proceeded to flirt with her for 7 minutes as I waited, not so patiently, for my checkup. Then, yesterday, she was back in the ocean with me, paddling around in her new bathing suit, ass cheeks practically hanging out. She was with the Party Guys, not me, this time. And as much as I'd like to say it didn't bother me, it bothered me. Yeah, I say into my phone. I'd like a foot-long chicken avocado ranch and a foot-long roast beef classic. Your address? Cinderella didn't answer the phone. 16 Colony Road. Be about 30 minutes. Thanks, I say, then end the call. Yep, I'm going to have it out with her as soon as she gets here with my sandwiches. I open up my laptop to see if I can find any dirt on her while I wait, when my calendar pops up. I'm just about to click it closed and open up my browser when I notice something. Detailing appointment on Tuesday. Surf shop appointment on Wednesday. Dentist appointment on Thursday. Did she hack my calendar? I snort out a laugh. Then another. Nah, I say. No way. But the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. Cinderella Vaughn hacked my ass. She's been following me around town. I close my laptop and pace. I pour another drink and check my watch. She'll be here with my food in 5 minutes. I go to the front house and peer through the upstairs window and wait. But instead of the powder blue VW bug, a small white pickup with the Buster's logo on the side pulls up. And it's not Cinderella who gets out with my sandwiches. I jump down the guest house stairs, three at a time, and land with a thump just as the doorbell rings. I unlock it and pull it open with a rush. The kid on the other side jumps back a step, then laughs. Shit, dude, scared the fuck out of me. He looks like he's about 17, needs a good dermatologist, and could use about 20 more pounds on his 6-foot frame. He starts rummaging in his pocket for the takeout ticket and says, "That'll be 15. Where's Cinderella?" "Huh?" he asks, holding out my receipt. "Your boss?" "My boss?" He laughs again, more nervous this time. "You mean that weird hot chick? She's at a party tonight." He nods his head off to my right. "Down the street that way." "Party guy's house," I say, but not to him, just to myself. "What?" Skinny kid looks confused. "Nothing," I say, pulling a 20 out of my pocket. "Keep the change." I thrust the bill into his empty hand, take my bag of food, and slam the door. That little, sneaky, flirty bitch. I jog past the pool, drop the sandwiches on a side table, take the steps in the main house, three at a time, and go all the way up to the rooftop deck. The music has been playing in the background for about an hour. Nothing too loud or thumpy, so I've mostly ignored it. But now that I'm up here, it's pissing me off. There are at least 2 dozen people crowded onto the Party Guy's roof deck. They have a double lot, assholes, so their deck is twice the size of mine. And there she is. Not wearing the leather jacket, no. Wearing nothing but that same bikini she had on yesterday. Has she been hanging out with these guys all fucking week? After she hacked into my calendar and then stalked me all over Malibu? Oh, hell no. These houses down here on the beach are exactly 6 feet apart. So I jump over to my neighbor's rooftop, walk the 10 paces it takes to get to the edge, and jump again. There are people on the roof of the third house between me and Party Guys, and they see me coming, hands up in the air, arms flailing with protests, but I ignore them, keep walking, and jump onto old dude's house before they even realize what's happening. "I'm calling the police," someone yells from behind me. They're renters, so I know they don't know who I am or where I came from, but I do know that the Malibu PD will be here within 5 minutes if they do call, so I jump one more time and knock over a guy who drops 2 drinks as he falls. Amateur. I push my way through the crowd of partiers, protests coming from all directions now, and stand right in front of Little Miss Sugar Cookie. "Pax," she says, huge, satisfied smile on her face. She did this to make me jealous. She fucking stalked my ass all week to keep me interested, then accepted an invite to the party house, knowing full well I always order food on Friday night if I'm home, and tonight she wouldn't be the one to deliver it. "I didn't think you'd come," she turns. "You guys," she says, calling for the surfers I've spent the last 2 months ignoring out in the ocean. "Look, he came." "Hey, man," the tall one who asked me if he could nail Cinderella last week says. It comes out amicably enough, but I see the way his eyes are squinting. He probably hasn't gotten far with her yet. She's playing a game, after all, and she's clearly interested in me, so not gonna fuck another dude while she's winning. So that look says, "Stay the fuck away." I shoot the same look right back as I take Cinderella's hand and start leading her towards the stairs. "Hey," party guy says, standing up real fast. "What the fuck do you think you're doing?" I look at Cinderella, who smiles, then over my shoulder at party guy. He looks like he finds the idea of a fight interesting. "Taking her home." "She's not going home, asshole. You are. She's here with me." I shrug and look down at Cinderella. She smiles again. "Hey, Matthew, I hope you didn't get the wrong idea this week. I love hanging out with you. It's been a lot of fun, but I'm dating Pax." "Since when?" Matthew asks. Those eyes of his are practically slits right now. Cinderella opens her mouth to say something, but I clamp a hand over it to shut her up. She doesn't need to make this any worse than it is. "None of your fucking business," I answer. "And if I were you, I'd drop it. Just walk away, kid. Just walk away. Because she's playing games with both of us, and even though I don't like to be played like that, I do like to win, and this right here is me winning." He throws a punch. I knew he would. People are screaming, bodies are shifting. His fist hits me square in the jaw, but it's weak. I don't even feel it. The sirens are blurping down below on the private road, the lights are flashing, and then all hell breaks loose. I still have a hold of Cinderella's hand, so I tug her towards the edge of the roof. She jumps with me like a motherfucking badass, and we both land on the opposite house at the same time with a thud. The tourists, the next house over, are screaming for the cops, pointing at us. But there is so much hell breaking loose right now, I'm pretty sure all that goes unnoticed. Cinderella has old dude's roof terrace hatch open, and we jump down into the narrow stairs that lead into a master bedroom and head straight for another set of stairs that brings us down to beach level. No one is here tonight. The place is dark, so we slip out the front and onto the beach, holding hands in the shadows created by the thin line of orange light spreading out on the Pacific Ocean like a carpet. We walk slowly, but breathing hard, as we casually make our way back down the beach to my house. It's high tide right now, so we are squished up against the front of all the other houses, practically walking underneath the stilts that keep the ocean out of their living rooms. No one calls for us to stop. I open the glass gate that leads to my beachfront patio, let Cinderella enter before me, then close it up as we leave the party behind. She flops on the couch, huge smile on her face, and then pulls her knees up to her chest, squeezing her tits together so they practically fall out of her itty-bitty bikini top. A long, happy sigh comes out from between her perfectly plumped lips. "I knew you'd miss me." She turns her head slightly, looks at me from the corner of her eye. "Eventually." "Eventually," I huff. "Ha, I see you got your food." She gets up, grabs the bag of sandwiches off the end table near the stairs, then flops back down. "I'm starving. I'll take the roast beef." I stare at her for a moment, consider my options. Kick her out? Not gonna happen. Fuck her right now, then send her on her way, satisfied that she's out of my system. Unlikely to pan out the way I imagine. So we eat dinner. She talks, scarfs that sandwich down like a champ, and I listen to a story about how party guy Matthew tried to hit on her all week as she laughs. "I don't find that funny," I say, finishing off my sandwich. "I know," she says. "You're the jealous type. I was just making sure you've still got a pulse since you're so quiet." "Hmm," I say, looking down at my phone to check the security cameras in front of the house on my personal app. "Looks like the cops are gone, so I think that's your cue." "You're kicking me out? Really?" "I'm not into you, kid." "Kid, please. Come on, I'm 23. I'm 31. I'm pretty sure we're not after the same thing, especially after that freak admission that we're soulmates. There is no happily ever after in my future, I assure you. Why? Because you don't deserve one? Shit. You're gonna psychoanalyze me? How about we start with you? You're a crazy stalker, and I'm not interested in your fetish obsession with Mr. Mysterious. I'm just not interested. She licks mayonnaise off her fingers, crumples up the sandwich paper, and stuffs it back into the brown bag. I think you are. I think you're intrigued with my story. Your lies, you mean. Hey, look, if you're given the name Cinderella at birth, you make the most of it, so I like to act my stories out. What's the harm? You're going to go to prison for hacking. You're pressing charges? She laughs, like this is way more crazy than her behavior. I could. You won't. She gets up, grabs the paper from my sandwich, stuffs it inside the brown bag, then walks into the kitchen and throws it away. What do you want? A night with you? Sex? I laugh so loud she startles. You're stalking me, so I'll fuck you. She shrugs, and my eyes track those huge tits as she does that. Is that such a bad idea? Both her hands go behind her back. Her fingers fumble around for a second, and the bikini top falls forward, slim strings hanging down each side of her breasts. She reaches around behind her neck, and a few moments later the top drops to the floor. I watch her silently, then get up, walk to the stairs, and go up. I turn in the hallway to see what she does next. She climbs the steps towards me, slowly, like she's afraid I might spook and she'll have to chase me down. But I don't spook. This is what I wanted, right? Since the first time I saw her at my door with the brown paper bag. When she reaches the top of the stairs, she starts untying the strings of her bottoms. One hand on each hip until they fall to the floor. And she just stands there, naked for me. Some spotlight from outside filtering in just enough for me to see the dark outline of her nipples and the seductive curve of her hips. What do you want to do now, Mr. Mysterious? Keep playing the game? Or give in and win? I picture my mouth on those nipples, my palms wrapped around the swell of her breasts. She bites her lip like she's nervous, but catches herself and stands still, not moving, no hesitation or shyness or uncertainty. He looks at me like I'm sustenance. What? His face nothing but confusion and lust. Seriously, it's story time again. He wants me, I know he does. He sees all of me right now, but it's not enough. Stop it, I say. You hacked into my fucking calendar. I'm a tad obsessed with you, sorry. What do you want? The same thing you do? To fuck you senseless and then leave town and forget it ever happened? She shrugs. If that's what you want. But I have so many better ideas. Like what? Don't you think we should wait until afterward to talk about it? After what? After you fuck me senseless and we fall asleep in each other's arms? If I fuck you senseless, you won't like what comes after. I'm a big girl, Mr. Vance. I know what I'm getting into. I don't think you do. Are we going to stand here talking all night? She slips a hand between her legs, her fingers moving in small circles over her clit. Or would you like to see how ready I am to take this to the next level? My dick grows despite all the warning bells going off in my mind, and my hand finds my thick shaft through my shorts, automatically fisting it as she watches. Let me help you with that, she says, walking forward until she's right in front of me. Her head turns up and I catch the blue of her eyes and that elusive light from somewhere outside. She covers my hand with hers, and then her fingers are unbuttoning my shorts and pulling out my cock. She smiles as she drops to her knees, and I can't stop my hands from fisting her hair and giving it a tug. Moans from both of us as she takes me in her mouth. My head falls back, hers tilts up, eyes on me, and only me. I want to drown in those eyes. They are the ocean outside. They are the power of the waves and the sting of the salt. I hope we don't regret this in the morning, I manage to mumble. She leans back, letting my cock fall from her mouth, her eyes never leaving mine. I hope we do.
Chapter 7. Cindy.
What's that mean?
Paxton asks. Shh, I say, putting his hard cock back in my mouth. I lick his tip, and then run my tongue up and down his shaft, until all thoughts about tomorrow are safely tucked away in some unknown, forgotten place. He moans, and gives my tangled hair in his fist a firm yank, signaling for me to stand. Tired of me already, detective?
Detective?
He stares hard at me, those dark eyes of his pure steel. I know what he is. I know what he does. I know what he's done. But I don't care. The way he's looking at me right now wipes all those things away. Besides, I'm no stranger to the underworld. I'm not some innocent girl. It might appear that way on the outside, what with my presumably perfect life on the Shrike Ranch outside Fort Collins, Colorado. My childhood was filled with riding lessons and ballet. I won the St. Joseph's Spelling Bee 4 years in a row. I was an honor roll student the moment I stepped into high school. But none of those things are who I am now. They are just where I came from, and seeing me from the outside is nothing like knowing me on the inside. Detective, I say again, you like find things out about people, right? It fits you, like it fits me. Paxton is still looking at me with that cold glare, like he loves and hates me at the same time.
You're not staying the night.
I shrug. Why would I?
I'm just trying to be crystal clear with you, Cinderella. And before this goes any further, I'm gonna need a background check.
What? I laugh, my hand still absently pumping his cock.
Background check, sugar.
He repeats it with more conviction.
You can suck my cock while I run a background check on you. And if you decline, there's the fucking door, sweetheart.
I make a pouty face. It's real, too. You don't trust me.
Not even a little.
You think I'm hiding something.
We're all hiding something, so it's no big deal. I just want to know what that something is going forward.
I place my lips on the tip of his cock, pucker them, and give him a sweet kiss. Go ahead, then. Check me out. I'm real. He places both hands on my shoulders and steps away. I slide down onto my butt and watch him walk down the stairs, and then come back a minute later with a laptop. He beckons me with a finger and passes me in the hallway, takes a seat on the bed, opens his legs, and places the open laptop off to his right side.
You can stay and watch if you want. If you're confident I won't find anything interesting, you can suck my dick while I run your name, and we'll just pretend like this little interlude never happened once I'm finished.
He stops, training that glare on me once more.
But if you think I'll find something, even,
he says, holding his thumb and pointer finger a minuscule distance apart,
something very small, then I'd advise you to leave now, because I don't do business with liars.
So this is business? I smile. He doesn't.
Everything is business.
I think about this for a moment. What will he say when he really does find out the truth? But I decide that's a problem for another day. He's not going to find anything right now, not running the name Cinderella Vaughn. I always knew he'd check. I've planned for this moment very thoroughly. He'll find everything he's looking for, and I will stay Cinderella Vaughn in his mind until he gets suspicious and puts all my lies together. But by that time, he'll be hopelessly in love with me, so it won't matter who I really am. He will fight for us. I'll stay, I say, crossing the distance between us and taking a seat between his legs. His cock has softened slightly, but when I wrap my hands around him again, the tip of my tongue doing a seductive dance across the tip of his head, it jumps back to attention. He starts typing as I try to relax and enjoy the moment. I have Mr. Mysterious in the palm of my hand. I have his dick in my mouth, and once this little expected formality is over, I'll be in his bed. I don't ever expect to leave that bed, figuratively speaking. Once Mr. Paxton Vance gets a taste of me, he will never want anyone else.
Where did you grow up?
He asks, pulling me back from my future. Colorado, I say. I can't lie about that. There are many Vaughns in this world, but the Vaughn identity I've attached this name to all over the internet happens to be with my cousins, and they live in Colorado.
Hmm, Pax says.
Hmm, I moan back, making my throat vibrate as I suck on his cock.
Jesus,
he says, leaning back a little, making his dick fall out of my mouth. You don't like it? I ask, blinking up at him innocently.
Just give me a second.
He goes back to typing.
I have a few friends in Fort Collins. You ever heard of Shrike bikes?
No, I lie. Should I have?
Before your time, maybe,
Pax says, absently. I am Shrike bikes. Baby Shrike, that's me. It's just too funny not to laugh, but I hold it in because the moment is precarious.
You went to Catholic school?
A snort comes out with the question. My parents are very traditional.
Says here your father owns a tattoo shop. Doesn't sound very traditional to me.
Jesus Christ, he got that info fast. Haven't you ever heard of those Jesus bikers?
Your dad's a Jesus biker.
Pax looks down his nose at me like I'm totally full of shit. Call him up and ask him, I say coolly.
Hmm,
Pax says, looking back at his screen. I'm sure if he's found a picture of my Uncle Vic, he won't be doing anything as stupid as calling him on the phone. He's a scary motherfucker, all tatted up from back in the day. Still part owner of Sick Boys, Inc., my mother's family-run tattoo shop. Pax closes the laptop and sets it on the nightstand. Satisfied? I ask sweetly.
No, princess.
Don't call me princess. I told you, that nickname belongs to my older sister.
Aurora?
We call her... I stop myself just in time from saying Rory, which he will surely recognize from his visits to my parents' farm with Oliver over the past few years, and realize I fell into a trap. He has my sister's name. My real sister. And of course, none of my cousins are named Aurora. Is the third degree over then? I ask, hoping to God he won't open that laptop back up and go looking for an Aurora Vaughn. That would be bad. Very, very bad. Because Rory's middle name actually is Vaughn, and she will pop right up. Only her last name will be Shrike, and my whole plan will go...
What do they call you then? At home?
Sugar, I say, breathing deeply to stop my panic. They call me Sugar, just like you did.
They call me Baby Shrike. But I can't tell him that, now can I?
Fuck. How did I get here? I literally had his dick in my mouth, and now I'm about to blow my own damn cover with this stupid mistake.
Sugar what? Pax asks. You sounded like there was something else at the end of sugar. Sugar what?
Sugar. And before I can stop myself, I blurt out, Cookie.
Cookie?
He laughs. Oh, fuck. I need to stop talking.
Yeah,
he says, threading his fingers through my long black hair.
Yeah, I can see it, actually. You smell like a fucking bakery. Sugar cookie it is, then.
He leans down to kiss me on the lips. I look up at him, my eyes filled with relief, I'm sure. And I'm sure he can tell. I'm absolutely sure he's going to call me on this. I'm positive that he's been digging in Oliver's family history, and somewhere along the line he's heard of Cinderella, even though I haven't let my parents call me my given name since I was 12.
Sugar cookie,
Paxton says, whispering into my mouth. Yes, I squeak out, all sorts of lies flooding my mind as I try to pick just the right one to keep this ruse going.
My cock is getting cold,
he breathes.
I think you better wrap your sweet little mouth around it and keep it warm.
I exhale long and soft as he guides my head back to his waiting dick. And then I relax, take him in my palms, and lick him like he's the best thing I've ever tasted. His hands leave my hair and my eyes track them as he lifts his shirt over his head and tosses it aside. The muscles in his chest are cut angles, hard and deep enough to cast shadows in the dim light leaking through from outside. My eyes trace the curve of his shoulders as I take him in, my tongue pressing against his long, thick shaft. He closes his eyes for a moment, but opens them back up almost immediately.
"Fuck," he says. "You're damn sweet and pretty, Cinderella. I bet you explode, don't you? I bet you come like a superstar."
My fingers are between my legs, rubbing little circles against the sensitive folds of my pussy.
"I bet you scream, too, don't you?"
I moan against his skin. But before I even stop humming, he's pulled me up and thrown me face first down on the bed. I squeal with equal parts delight and shock. Fuck it. Maybe I did mess up, but fuck it. I'm going to enjoy my first time with Paxton Vance. I've been working towards this night for years. I've been fantasizing about him since I was 13 years old. Everything I've done since I first laid eyes on him in that newspaper article was with this moment in mind. I don't care what he finds out tomorrow. I don't care if he's pissed off. He will never be able to walk away from me. He will never forget this night. Paxton Vance will be thinking about the day Cindy Shrike walked into his life till death do us part. No matter what I do, no matter what he finds out, we are meant to be together. Now I just need to convince him of that little fact.
"I like it on top," I say. "Too bad, sugar. I like you face down so I can play with your asshole while I fuck you from behind. But maybe later I'll let you ride me, if you're good. If you scream for me. If you come at just the right time."
And then he thrusts inside me. So hard, I slide forward on the bed. So deep, I gasp with the sharp pain. He rests his chest on my back and whispers in my ear,
"Your pussy will get used to my size soon enough, Cinderella. But don't worry, I'll go easy on you tonight since we're on the maiden voyage."
Chapter 8. Paxton. Cinderella's lips pull back in a smile as she looks at me over her shoulder, her hips thrust backwards, urging me to take her, to keep going. I grab her hair and pull as I ease away, lifting my weight off her back. Her perfectly tanned skin is already dotted with little beads of sweat. "Don't go too easy on me, Pax. I'm not as fragile as you think, and your cock is the perfect size. You won't hear me complain about that." "You little slut," I say, letting go of her hair so I can grab her hips. I slam her ass back into my cock, our skin-on-skin contact echoing off the ceiling like a series of slaps as I pound her hard, then harder. She moans, her hands reaching up to grab the white cotton duvet, and then they become fists, like she's desperate to hold on to something. I let go of one hip, reaching under her to find her pussy, and begin to strum. Her moans get louder and louder as I increase the friction on her sensitive spot. And just as her back is arching, I stop.
"No, you asshole," she whines.
But there's no need for her to worry about me leaving her hanging. I flip her over on her back, spread her legs wide, and crawl between them. My hands flatten against the folds of her pussy, pulling them slightly apart, just enough for me to slip my tongue inside and lick. Her spine arches and her back comes off the bed. I hold her in place at her hips with both hands, fighting her, not letting her escape my swiftly flicking tongue.
"Oh, shit!" she cries. "Shit!"
She writhes under the pressure of my punishing lips. Her legs begin to kick, catching a shoulder and a kidney in quick succession.
"Oh, my God! Oh, my God!"
"Be still," I murmur into her wet folds.
"I can't, Pex. Oh, my God. Just make me..."
She screams. Her kicking goes wild, knocking me in the head. I'd laugh because it's so fucking cute. But her hands clamp down on my shoulders and...
"Oh, fuck!"
I yell as her nails draw blood.
"Jesus!"
She stills, hands over her heart as she breathes and pants her way through the lingering contractions of her orgasm. Each time a wave hits her, she lifts her hips up, and I take the opportunity to kiss her swollen clit.
"I have never..."
"Shh," I say. "I'm not interested in what you have and have not done with anyone but me. Now be a good little cookie and climb on top, Cinderella. It's time to go to the ball. She's still breathing heavy as she wiggles herself upright, using my outstretched hand to steady herself. Then she slides her leg over the top of me and plants her hands firmly on my chest. My cock is throbbing with anticipation. She has her relief from the buildup, but I've barely started. Just lie forward, I say, pulling her face into my neck. I'll do the rest. She does as she's told. I like this side of her, the obedient side. Her mouth seeks out the skin just below my ear, and she kisses me like we've been lovers for eternity. I close my eyes for a moment and enjoy this new feeling. There's something very intimate and sexy in that little move. Her kiss becomes a nip, becomes a bite, and it's on. I wrap my arms around her back, holding her so tightly to my chest, she's gasping for air, and I pound her from below. My balls slapping up against her ass, her huge breasts smashed against my chest. We are slick with lust and carnal desire and the sweet sweat you only get from lovemaking. I come inside her, forgetting everything I know about safe sex and unwanted babies, because in that moment I am gone, man. I am in some erotic fucking heaven of my own creation with this little bombshell of a girl who weaseled her way into my life with sandwiches and jingling boots and that stupid little powder blue VW bug. I am gone. Later, when she is sleeping beside me and I am looking down on her hot 20-something body, I realize something. She's a natural blonde. My hand slips between her legs, eliciting a sweet moan from her lips as I play with her pussy. And I can't stop myself. I can't stop even if I want to, and I don't. I help myself to more and more and more as I dip my face between her legs and wonder, as she begins to writhe again, what she might look like if all that jet black dye was washed out of her hair. Huh. I laugh to myself hours later when the sun is coming up and my semi-waking dreams are filled with visions of a blonde princess wearing a blue dress. What? She asks lazily, angling her body into the curve of mine like we were made this way. You're definitely the bombshell version of a Disney princess. I feel her smile against my shoulder. And then it all fades away. I stumble out of bed, searching for my ringing phone. Cinderella is still sleeping, but all the movement and the damn ringing makes her turn over and expose her breasts to me. Jesus fuck, they are spectacular. Tight nipples in the middle of dark pink circles of peaked skin. They fall slightly to the side, but they are so big they don't lose their shape, but instead make perfect mounds on top of her chest. My mouth wants nothing more than to take them in and suck until she's begging me to fuck her again. The ringing stops and the silence jolts me back to reality until a sharp ding signals a voicemail. I place my head in my hands, rub my hands down my scratchy face, then get up and walk to the bathroom to take a piss. When I'm done, my phone is ringing again, and I manage to tab the accept button in time to save myself another voicemail as I pull on a pair of cut-off sweats. Yeah, I groan. Mr. Vance, the voice on the line says. Who is this? Usually I'm good with voices. I can remember a voice forever. But I'm distracted right now, and I don't feel like racking my brain when a simple question gets the job done just as easily. Liam Henry, I hired you to help my son a few years back. Stephen Henry, yeah, I remember that stupid little fuck. What can I do for you, Mr. Henry? I think the better question is, what can I do for you? Okay, I say, walking down the stairs to take this conversation to the kitchen. Shoot, tell me, I'm all fucking ears, man. Henry says, like he hates my guts but has to talk to me because he needs something. I don't take that personally. I expect everyone to hate my guts. It sucks being nice to an asshole like me. Especially when I hold all your dirty little secrets. I think this calls for a personal meeting. How soon can you be in Miami? I think of my little bombshell upstairs and smile. A week, maybe two if I lose interest in what I'm doing here. But I have to be honest, Henry, that's not looking good. This is a job, Mr. Vance, Are you or are you not a professional? A very busy one at the moment. If we have this out over the phone, I'll get your problem sorted out twice as fast. How about that? No, he says sternly. In person. Okay, well, it's going to be a week, maybe two. I'll come to you. Fantastic. How about Monday at... How about today at 6 p.m.? What time is it now? Noon. I sigh. Well, I can fuck her once more, then we can take a shower and fuck again, then take a nap. I guess that'll work. Where? I'll be at your house. I get the hang-up beeps and the line goes dead. So I just stare at it for a few seconds and then toss it over onto the couch as I go searching for the coffee I most definitely need. Who was that? My delectable little bakery girl asks, coming down the stairs, rubbing sleep from her eyes. She's wearing a half-buttoned dress shirt she must have pulled out of my closet. Her legs, man. I know I've seen them in skirts and shorts and bikini bottoms plenty of times, but coming out from under that dress shirt? Fuck. Sexy doesn't even cover how that shit looks. Just work, I say, filling the coffee pot with water. You're leaving me today for work? Cinderella pouts. On Saturday? Nah, I say, smiling. But with my back to her, so she can't see. I feel like I have a girlfriend all of a sudden, and it doesn't feel like a bad thing. He's coming here tonight, so unless you've got to work, we can spend the whole day together. I don't have to work, she says. I start the coffee maker and turn to face her. Fuck, she is fun to look at. So what's the story with that? The sub shop. You bought it? It's crazy, but everything about her is crazy. To stalk me? Another shrug. Is it creepy? Depends, I guess. Why are you so interested? Are you some femme fatale out to screw me up? Or, God, the smile on my face. Or, she prods. Or the distraction I've been waiting for. I exhale, unsure what those words mean, knowing full well what those words mean. Cinderella walks towards me, her mouth not smiling, not frowning, just flat, and my honesty feels like a mistake all of a sudden. What does that mean? She asks, taking my hand in hers and placing my palm against her cheek. She's warm, and her cheeks are flushed pink. Her lips gently brush my fingertips, and that little red flag that I tried to put away last night is flying again. What kind of distraction do you need? What's wrong with me? That's a loaded question. I can't stop looking at her mouth. I want to kiss it. And even though I don't consider myself to be an impulsive person, I do kiss it. I lean down, take her face in both hands, and it's the gentlest, the softest, the sincerest kiss I've ever had. Tired, I say, practically whispering. I'm tired of thinking about things. Of fixing things. I'm tired of all of it. I bought these two islands in the Exuma Cays, and I've been fixing them up, you know? One is sort of shitty, just a small house and I haven't done much to it, but the other one is perfect. I remodeled it all, kitchen, bathrooms, everything. Two islands, she says, letting her sentence drop off. Then, why do you need two? But it's such an important question. The answer is so telling, it makes me stop. Pax, she asks, why do you need two islands? And even though I've never articulated the answer, I know the answer. The backup plan, right? I always have a backup plan. I bought the little one first, but then I realized it wasn't what I needed. Too small, too insignificant, too easily washed away in a big storm. So I got another one nearby. Just in case? I bump my forehead into hers and nod. Just in case. It sounds a little like running away, she whispers. Call it whatever you want, I guess. I just like to have options. Running from the past? Do you really need to run? I think about this for a second. Yes and no. No, I don't, but I want to. I want to leave everything, everyone behind. Stop working and just do nothing for a while. Sit on a beach, catch fish off a boat in the middle of nowhere. No cell phone, no email, no problems. It doesn't sound very fun, the leaving everyone behind part. You have friends and family. Wouldn't you miss them? No, I say, pulling away, stepping back. Not really. They wouldn't miss me either, so who cares? Hmm, Cinderella says, sidestepping me and walking over to the coffee pot. She reaches up and opens a cupboard, pulling out a coffee mug like she's helped herself to coffee in my house a million times. It reminds me of me. In Nolan's houses. The way I help myself to his things when I'm there. The way I know all his houses intimately, even the ones I have no right to claim. Because I use them whenever he's not there. He has almost as many houses as me, and you can only stay in one at a time. She's been in here before, in my house, without me. This should be the last straw. This should be the part where I freak the fuck out and drag her to the front door, slamming it in her face after pushing her outside. This should be the part where I grab my things and walk away, leaving her behind. She's lying about a lot of things. I'm not sure anything she told me was the truth, if I'm being honest with myself. In my line of work, you gotta rely on instinct, and every instinct I have about Cinderella Vaughn is screaming lies, lies, lies. And all it would take is one more search. One more thorough search, when I don't have her looking over my shoulder or sucking my dick to distraction, and I'd figure out what the lies were. So what's stopping me from getting that truth? This is the part I'm suddenly having problems with. It's almost like, I'd rather not know. Maybe ignorance is bliss. Maybe having access to whatever you need, whenever you need it, isn't all it's cracked up to be. I watch her pour her coffee. But then she turns without adding sugar or milk and hands it to me. Here, she says. Let's sit and be still together for a little bit. I'd like to hear more about your escape plans, if that's okay. Just in case you bolt and I have to go after you. I take the mug and set it on the island countertop. If I do bolt, you'll never find me. So I guess you better not do that, Mr. Mysterious, or you might miss out on the chance of a lifetime. I smile and turn the questions to her. What about you? You don't come off as the most grounded person. Oh, God. She laughs, reaching for the teapot and filling it with water. She sets it on the stove and turns up the flame, then turns to face me, leans her hands on the counter behind her, smiles. No one has ever dared to call me grounded. I'm as flighty as they come, and not in the ditzy blonde way either. She stops, looks away quickly, then catches her mistake and looks me in the eyes again. Recovered. She is a natural blonde. That is something she's hiding for sure. Is that the reason the carpet doesn't match the drapes? I ask, taking a sip of my black coffee as I try to hide my smile. I didn't think you noticed. It's my job to notice, sugar. She draws in a breath through her teeth at the nickname. I think we might be the two most secretive people on the planet right now, Mr. Brown. Hmm, I say, wanting to wince at the name, but deserving it. It was the one I gave to the sub shop after all. Do we want to share these secrets? I ask. She shakes her head slowly. I don't think so. Not yet. So we're going to ignore all the red flags and warning bells? Do you have a better idea? How did I get sucked into this conversation? Why am I still participating in it? What is happening? Inside, I'm screaming, waving my arms around like that robot on that old-ass TV show. Warning, warning, warning. But outside, I'm as cool as they come. Not really, I say. Well, me either. I'm sure they're going to come out eventually, and by that time we'll have it all figured out. Will we? She nods. We will. When the teapot whistles, she makes herself a cup and we go out to the beach patio and lie next to each other on top of a giant double lounge chair and take in what's left of the summer sun. She's still wearing nothing but my dress shirt and her bikini bottoms. I'm still wearing nothing but my cut-off sweatshorts. And the beach is filled with people and kids and games of volleyball and surfers. But we pay no attention to any of it.
Chapter 9. Cindy. It's an afternoon of silence and whatever the word is for non-silence. It's not that we're quiet, because nothing about us is quiet. And it's not like we don't talk. because we never seem to stop talking. But we're silent in all the ways that matter. The past is closed up and put away. The future isn't even here yet, so there is no reasonable way for it to interfere. He calms me, though. Tethers me to the ground like one of the weights draping over the side of those giant hot air balloons. All my wanderlust tendencies seem to disappear under his scrutiny. He looks at me like he knows me, but of course he doesn't. Since I've told so many lies, even I'm having trouble knowing who I am. We go inside after a few hours of meaningless conversation and have sex on the kitchen counter. It's slower this time. I sit there, my legs wrapped around his middle as he kisses my neck and makes me come. We take a shower and he fucks me again, this time pressed up against the cold tile wall. Afterward, we nibble on crackers and cheese and a plate of cucumbers he sliced, since his fridge doesn't have much in the way of food. And I can see him watching the clock, wanting me to leave before his business arrives, and not wanting to tell me to leave so he can do business. So I woman up and do the right thing. I'm going to go home and get cleaned up. All I have in the way of clothing is the bikini I came here in, so I'm putting the top back on in the master bedroom when I make this announcement.
Where will you go after that? He asks.
Where will you go? I get a shrug.
I'm not sure yet. I might need to leave for this job.
I'd hope you'd take me with you, since, you know, I work for you now. We both smile at that. The detective smiles, I say, like the thought escaped him, but now that it's back, it was like it never left.
That's weird, you know, narrating shit like that, making us into some kind of story.
I don't care.
I think that's why I like you.
The careless part? I ask, wondering how we got this way overnight, wondering if it's a good or bad sign that we fell into each other's arms like old friends or old lovers.
Yeah, he says,
leaning against the wall in front of the stairs that lead down to the living room.
No, he corrects. Not careless. Careful, but uncaring.
We are two of the most unsolvable riddles ever, Mr. Vance.
I think I like that about us, Miss Vaughn.
Well, I say, I know where to find you.
Do you?
I nod. I do. Thanks for a great time, Pax. I'll see you later. I go down the steps, and I'm just about to turn towards the pool and walk to the front house when he calls out after me.
Cinderella?
Cindy, I say, stopping to look up at him. You can just call me Cindy.
Cindy,
he smiles.
You didn't turn into a pumpkin last night.
No, I say, feeling sad and happy at the same time. I might have on someone else's ball gown at the moment, but I'm real, I swear. I turn away feeling off. I walk a few houses down to where I parked my car last night, the hot concrete stinging my bare feet, and get in. I sit there for a few seconds, ignoring the fact that I came here to party with one guy and went home with another. I don't feel bad about it, not at all. I came to Malibu for one thing and one thing only, and that was Mr. Mysterious.
I got him.
But now what? What to do with him is the only thing on my mind. I start the car and drive up to the front gates of Malibu Colony, and 10 minutes later I'm 5 miles up PCH and turning into the beachside campground. I pull into the parking spot next to my camper and sit there for a minute. Sweat rolling down my back in the stifling heat of the late afternoon, and watch the minutes tick off on the dashboard clock. I get out eventually and make my way inside. I grab a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, slip my feet into the sneakers I use to, well, sneak, and drive back to Malibu Colony. There's no parking on the street, so I take up my usual spot by Buster's and jog down into the colony by the way of public beach access path. I'm 3 doors down from Paxton's house, sitting on the street-side porch of the place we used to escape the party last night, when a silver Mercedes parks in front of Pax's house, and an older gentleman gets out, looks around with either nervousness or caution, buttons his dark gray suit coat, walks up to the door, and rings the bell. A few seconds later, he steps out of view, and I start walking in that direction.
Hey,
A voice calls from behind me. Shit. I turn and smile at one of the party guys. I can't keep their names straight. Tyler, or Matthew, or Thomas. One of them is calling after me. Oh, hey, I say, forcing my feet not to shuffle in impatience. I'm missing part of that meeting right now. I need to get rid of this guy.
What happened?
Are you having another party tonight? I interrupt. Because last night was a bust.
Sorry about that, he says, a sheepish smile on his face. Yeah, sure. We have parties every weekend. Are you coming back?
Definitely, I say.
Are you dating that guy again?
I told you before. Matthew. I think he's Matthew. We've been dating forever. We're just one of those on-and-off kind of couples.
So you're on now?
Fucking men and their stupid jealous gene. No. He took me to his place last night when the cops came, but I left immediately and forgot my earrings. The nice ones. I need them back, that's all. What time should I come by tonight? For the party? He looks like he has more questions. Maybe he's even observant and knows I wasn't wearing earrings last night. But my question stops that line of thought and refocuses it on something unrelated to the mysterious man down the street.
How about 9?
How about I'll see you then? He nods towards Pax's house.
Want me to go get those earrings for you, so you don't have to bother?
I got it, thanks. I give him a little wave as his buddies start calling his name from inside their house. Go back inside, I pray. And my luck holds, because when I get to Pax's front door, he's gone. A few weeks ago, I broke in and stole Paxton's house keys, had a copy made, and then returned them. Since then, I've been making frequent visits. I slip the key in the door as quietly as I can, but I'm confident they are on the beach side of the house, so way out of earshot. And then I sneak inside. I tiptoe inside the foyer and softly down the steps that lead to the pool.
I don't think so,
Pax says from the living room. I freeze and realize I've missed something. Shit. Probably something important.
Why not?
The visitor asks.
Because I just don't think he's like that. He's not that kind of guy. I don't think you know one single grain of truth about that guy's life.
I slink past the tall palm trees, then back into a corner just on the other side of the entrance to the beach side of the house.
So you've said,
Pax replies. There's a clinking of ice in glasses, like they're having drinks.
So you've hinted over the years. But you know what, Liam? You never do anything more than hint. I've never had reason to.
He pauses.
Until now. And what's changed? He's been doing things out of character. Like what?
Like... But the pause this time is extended.
Like,
Pax urges.
Like not paying his debts. He owes you something. Since when? He's owed me his whole life, Vance. Like I said, you have no idea who he is. Did it ever occur to you that he might have been the guilty one?
A laugh from Pax.
No. No. Never. I always thought Nolan was guilty. He acted guilty as hell. Weston never acted guilty. Little things like rape charges don't bother powerful people like Weston Conrad, but even so, he's not the guilty one.
Mr. Corporate. They're talking about Mr. Corporate.
Then who? You?
More ice clinking inside glasses. A pause. Then...
Say that again, old man, and I'll do something about it.
A half snort, half laugh from this Liam guy, like he finds that notion ridiculous.
No need. I don't think it was you. Your mother didn't raise you that way.
What the fuck is going on here? They definitely know each other, but what is this about?
No, Paxton says. She didn't. But,
Liam says,
you're one half Charles Vance as well.
And then laughter, like uproarious laughter. I get a chill up my spine.
He didn't raise me, as you well know. No, He never raised any of them, did he? You want to tell me why you're here?